right. Thank you, Elena Yost and Lexi Owens, for the prelude music this morning. Welcome to Berean Baptist Church on this Mother's Day. I want to wish all the mothers out there a happy Mother's Day. Trust that the family gathering together will be a great blessing, encouragement to you through this day. Coming up in a few weeks, June 2nd, David Flink will be giving the update for the ministry there in Arica, Chile, preaching to us as well during the morning service. He'll be taking the Sunday school in the morning service. We're also planning a anniversary picnic that follows that Sunday morning service. There'll be no evening service on that Sunday night, but we're looking forward to that. There'll be a sign-up sheet for what you can bring for that picnic on the 2nd of June. So keep that in mind as we look forward to that. Steve is going to come and lead us in our first song at this time.
If you need the hymnal, it's hymn number 54. Hymn number 54, How Wonderful Art Thou. If you would, let's stand together and sing, all right?
I walk at night beneath majestic skies, and know behind them is a God of mine, who fixed those stars each in its lowly place.
Scripture this morning and open our service in prayer.
Today's scripture reading is found in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. It is of Hannah's prayer. And it's a wonderful prayer. And if you study through the book of Samuel, it's one book that was divided into two because of it would have been a big scroll. This prayer acts as a type of table of contents for what comes. So it's a wonderful prayer. Allow me to read it for us this morning. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly, Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the many are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne seven, but she has many children, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, and the boy was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, the priest. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. It is your Lord's day, and we have gathered with joy to worship our Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask that you will help us to receive your word with gladness and to repent of our sin and to obey you and trust you wholly. Thank you for the opportunity and the liberty that we have to gather freely today. And we love you and leave all of these things into your capable hands this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hymn number 52, if you need the book, Thine Be the Glory. delight to hear you sing. The way we worship our God is through our music and through the spoken word as we hear it. And it's a joy to be able to sing and praise God through music and to be able to voice it as well. Hymn number 30, if you need the book, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, Let Angels Prostrate Fall." For this month is Hebrews 4:16. I've got it written backwards on my note here. Hebrews 4:16. Let's say the reference, the verse, and then the reference together. We should learn it by the end of the month if we can. All right? Get it memorized. All right, here we go. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. Listen as the choir sings "The Solid Rock." 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. 410, if you need the book. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. PowerPoint. Let's try it one more time, all right?
Number.
404. I'm not going to drag it on when we're not singing the right words, all right? Hymn number 404. Take out your hymnal. We'll do it that way, all right? All right, at the beginning again. Once I live for Christ, self alone.
Once I live for self alone, I called my life my own.
Thank you.
with me on this last verse, if you're able, and we'll sing this one. We'll dismiss the children to their time of junior church on the last part of this verse, all right? They can go. Every day I let him lead.
Every day I let him lead.
Pastor comes with a morning message. Lexi, Libby, and Levi Owens with Nate Sandel for special music.
As we sing this song this morning, the music that is being played is kind of like the world in chaos. But the words we're singing teach us that Christ is our foundation and a refuge in the storms.
A blessing to have a firm foundation underneath us. Wherever we walk, we have a solid footing when we stand on the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of His Word. Amen? Again, I want to say congratulations, mothers. I trust that you have a great day together, celebrating your special day. Really, Mother's Day ought to be every day. Right, mothers? They are special people, and we appreciate all that they have done to give us life and to give us a life that is not only full of joy and purpose, but a life that is focused, especially for those godly mothers who are pointing us to Jesus Christ on a daily basis. We're turning to 1 Samuel, and we'll be looking at, especially in chapter 2 this morning. I'll give a little bit of background on the the storyline here between Elkanah, Hannah, and Peninnah, and the birth of Hannah's firstborn son, Samuel. Before we do that, I want to just mention a couple of prayer requests. One is a praise. You've been praying for my brother, Kurt Flink. He has come through the time of hospitalization well, and we're grateful for his recovery. He had some heart trouble, AFib, that they were able to get back into rhythm, and diabetes under control, and blood pressure as well. They had to drain out some fluid as well. In fact, Darla, his wife, said, "We've got to go pants shopping now, because otherwise his britches are going to fall down." He's lost 25 pounds, which is so good for him to do. Also want to mention Joe Helfenstein had surgery to remove some cysts, and pray for his recovery, though he's going through that time at this time, right, the recovery phase. So continue to pray for Joe Helfenstein as well. 1 Samuel begins with failure, and it ends with failure. But in between, we see the sovereign hand of God working even through all of that. The last verse of the book of Judges, if you turn back just one page, more than that, excuse me, you have to go through the book of Ruth. It says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And these are the days in which Samuel was born into. A time of spiritual decay, a time of defeat, a time of disorganization everywhere. No authority, no spirituality, no continuity, nothing in which God could delight. The Israelites were doing that which they pleased. Instead of God's people taking the lead in the world as God desired them to be a testimony to the watching world around them, instead of that, the world was pouring God's people into its mold." And by the way, I think that's what Paul warned against as well, did he not? In Romans chapter 12, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The high priest in Israel, Eli, feeble old man, placed his sons in ministry despite their public and private lives being a scandal. And into this scene, the Spirit of God brings a remarkable woman by the name of Hannah. And as we consider her story, as we go back to chapter 1, we see that it progresses from a time of barrenness through a time of bitterness of soul and a time of brokenness before the Lord to a time of blessedness. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim. His name was Elkanah. This is chapter 1 and verse 1. The son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. Notice this. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. So we find here the background of what's going to happen in chapter 2. Hannah was a woman of prayer. And for every lady here this morning, and by the way, every man, it should be an encouragement to us and a challenge for us to be men and women of prayer. Because what does James chapter 5 say? "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much." How we need to be in prayer. praying for our families, praying for our spouse, praying for our children, praying for our relatives, praying for neighbors, and the list goes on and on. Hannah had experienced barrenness in her life, in her married life. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Hannah's husband was a Levite. Elkanah was from the tribe of Levi that God had set apart to minister his word to his people. He came from the most distinguished of the three Levitical families, the family of Kohath. That family was entrusted with the most important ministry in the service of the tabernacle. Their task was to carry in their hands the ark, the lampstand, the table, and the golden altar when Israel was on the march. The rest of the furniture and the fittings of the tabernacle were carried on carts. They were to do it by hand. And notice where he lived, where Elkanah lived. Ramathaim Zophim. The name of the town is said to mean the two hills of the watchmen. And every time Elkanah spoke or wrote that name, he was reminded of the need for watchfulness. And boy, aren't we in need of that reminder as well, to be watchful. Again and again, the Bible warns us to be constantly on guard against the perils and the pitfalls of life, against Satan's snares and traps. And as we read there in verse 2, he had two wives. God never blessed polygamy. And the fact that Elkanah had two wives is silent proof of perhaps a lack of watchfulness in his life. This system of polygamy never breeds happiness, but rather discord and dissension. And that's what we find here happening in his home. Having two wives created trouble. He loved Hannah more than he loved Peninnah, and as a result, his domestic life was stressful. You and I can't always explain barrenness. We can't always explain fruitfulness either. And all we know is that God is sovereign. He is answerable to no one. He knows what he is doing, amen? He knows what he's doing. And he makes no mistakes. So we find no explanation for Hannah's barrenness. Hannah's child, when she finally gives birth to Samuel, it was a miracle from God. And her little boy became God's answer to an apostate, apathetic age, to the nation of Israel. As a result of her condition, Hannah went up to the house of God and prayed. And God heard her prayer and answered it by giving to her a son, Samuel. I want you to notice with me, let me say this first. Elkanah and Hannah demonstrated their faith in God in leaving their son Samuel in the care of Eli and his two sons. That had been the promise of Hannah to the Lord her God, that she was going to dedicate her son to the Lord. And this is how it was fleshed out. They brought Samuel to be in the care of Eli and his two sons. I want you to notice with me five expressions of praise that Hannah's prayer and song to the Lord includes. And it ought to be instructive for us and a challenge for us to include these expressions of praise as well to the Lord our God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, as we bow before you today, we're grateful for your word that you've given to us. Thank you, Father, for the instruction that it gives to us in how to live for your glory and to be able to praise you, for you are worthy of that praise. I pray that you would instruct us, teach us what we need to know, Father. Guide us in the path that you desire us to take. And as we seek in our songs and in our prayers to praise you and to lift you and exalt you in those expressions of our devotion to you, help us, Lord, to do it biblically and rightly in a way that pleases you and brings honor and glory to your great name. We're lifting up today Joe Helfenstein. Give him recovery, Father, from this surgery. pray, Father, for his caregivers at this time and his family. Bring them great comfort and encouragement at this time. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. First expression of praise that we find here in her song to the Lord is this, the joy of the Lord. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord." My heart rejoices in the Lord. That ought to be an expression of our praise as well when we come before him in prayer, or when we come to worship him together as a congregation. When we sing, it ought to come from the joy of the Lord within, because he's put a new song in our hearts, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. That ought to be our motivation as we come before the Lord in prayer, in worship. So we see her rejoicing and praying at the same time. She knew God had answered her prayer. And this blessedness of answered prayer shows in her face. Notice that in verse 18 of chapter 1, where it says her countenance, or her face, was no more sad. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. She had been bitter in her soul because of the grief and the pressure that was being placed upon her by Peninnah, who had children. And because of that, she wept. There it says there in verse 7, "As he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her." Peninnah provokes Hannah. "Therefore she wept and did not eat." But boy, everything has changed now. God has answered her prayer, given her a son, Samuel. And she's praying this prayer and singing this song of joy to the Lord. And her countenance is no more sad. Like Moses. You remember when Moses came down from the mount, his face shone with the glory of God? The glory of the Lord, her God, was upon Hannah as well, as it had been upon Jochebed, Moses' wife. Her face told its own story of the peace of God reigning in her heart. God had answered her prayer. And her blessedness also showed in her fruitfulness. Samuel was born. And she held this little bundle of humanity in her arms, and she was thrilled through and through with gratitude to her God. And I want you to notice that the Spirit of God, who delights to dwell on details, tells how the child was named. Hannah, verse 20 of chapter 1, "Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord." Hannah did not forget that she had promised to give her baby to God. And she chooses the name Samuel, which means asked of God. And she did so on purpose, so that every time she called his name, she would be reminded of her promise. Her blessedness showed in her face, it showed in her fruitfulness, and it showed in her faithfulness as well. She did all that she could to guide Samuel's early steps in the right path. The time came for her to fulfill her promise to God. And she took him to Eli. Notice this in verse 27. "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord." As long as he lives, he should be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. So she takes Samuel to Eli, the high priest, and leaves him in her care. I think we can be sure that Hannah, like any other godly mother, even today, would do this, that she would continue to pray for him for the rest of her earthly life. And what a blessing for those of you who are sons and daughters to know that you have a mother who is still praying for you, or who has prayed for you until she was taken to be with the Lord. That is the joy of the Lord. And we see again her praying and rejoicing at the same time. Notice the majesty of the Lord in verses 2 and 3 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. "There is none holy as the Lord. For there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Notice here in her song, Hannah knew the character of God, and she exulted in his glorious attributes. Holy, none beside thee, neither is there a rock like our God. And you know, we would do well to follow her example in our praise to the Lord as we rehearse in prayer and as we sing in our songs the Lord's attributes. As you read through the Bible, I think Dr. Olala instilled this in his students way back when at Northland Baptist Bible College. Build a biography of God, right? Whenever you read the scriptures, see in those scripture texts the attributes of God, who he is, and build that into your life so that when you come before him in prayer and praise, you can rehearse those attributes to yourself and hopefully to others who listen to you. We find the grace of the Lord in verses 4-8. And notice here in Hannah's song how she describes the Lord turning everything upside down. Notice that. The bows of the mighty men. For those of you who are bow hunters, right there, Joshua, Nate, and maybe others. What would happen if your bows are broken? You wouldn't be able to hunt. That's what the Lord was doing here. The bows of the mighty men are broken. They that stumble are girded with strength. He's turning things upside down. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread. And they that were hungry cease to be hungry. So that the barren has borne seven, and she that has many children is waxed feeble. So the Lord here is turning everything upside down, and Hannah is affirming that. She is describing the Lord in doing all of this. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises up the poor of the dust and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world among them. And Hannah here is affirming that the Lord is in charge and he is in control of everything. And that thought ought to be expressed in our song of joy and our praise to the Lord. God, you are in control. You are sovereign. You are in charge. And even though it may seem that the world is in chaos, and it is, and nobody's in charge, you are. You are in charge of everything. Notice the protection of the Lord in verses 8-10. Where he says, he raises up the poor of the dust, out of the dust, excuse me, and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes, to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the Lord are the pillars of the earth of the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. There are two contrasting descriptions found here. The one is he will keep the feet of his saints. As God's people walk here upon this earth, and as they walk in light, as he is in the light, the Lord is going to guard and guide their steps. He's promised that protection for us. The second contrasting description is concerning the wicked. The wicked will walk in spiritual darkness because they depend on their own strength and wisdom. And they're going to be walking in darkness, spiritual darkness. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. I think it's that this is a prophecy looking forward to the time of tribulation. When his wrath is going to be poured out upon the earth. God has promised his children. Aren't you thankful for that promise? In Hebrews 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a great blessing to include in our song of praise and in our prayer of worship his promise of protection. Then lastly, the reign of the Lord in verse 10. This prophecy was fulfilled in King David, but the ultimate fulfillment will be in Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. He shall give his strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Now, again, that's partially fulfilled in King David, but it's ultimately fulfilled in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. When a husband and wife are dedicated to the Lord, like I believe Elkanah and Hannah were, when they worship him together, when they pray together, when they trust his word, it's a wonderful thing. And it ought to be a wonderful thing for you and I to experience as believers in Christ. If you have a believing husband, a believing wife, what a blessing to be able to do that together. To dedicate yourself to the Lord. To dedicate your family to the Lord. To be like Joshua of old, where he said, as for me and my house, we will do what? We will serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Are you going to serve the gods on the other side of the river that you had in Egypt? Or are you going to serve the God of heaven, the true and the living God? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Well, what a blessing. Godly mothers make that determination. When godly fathers make that determination. When that godly couple make that determination together. We are going to serve the Lord. I want to give you three principles as we close. Three takeaways that you can meditate upon. The first is, God will exalt those who are humble. He will humble those who exalt themselves. Where do we find that in the Bible? Well, turn with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4 says, but he gives more grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. God is going to exalt those who are humble and he will humble those who exalt themselves. Pride will be abased. Humility will be rewarded. And so as Christians, we ought to be humble. As Christians, we must fight our spiritual battles. How? In God's strength. Believing that we can be victorious when we put on the whole armor of God. Excuse me. We fight our spiritual battles in God's strength. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And the only way that we can do that is in the power of the Spirit of God, with the whole armor of God on, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We may be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. We may be able to have the helmet of salvation, the assurance of our salvation in Christ, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. And all of those pieces of the armor of God are personified in Jesus Christ as we put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We fight our spiritual battles in God's strength and not our own. The third principle, as Christians, we must not fail to worship God, to thank and praise him first for his glorious gift of salvation. For his glorious gift of salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And my friend, if you're listening this morning to the message, you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, you need to do so today. Today is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Put your faith and trust in Him. And we need to worship God and be thankful and grateful and praise Him for His glorious gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. But secondly, for all the blessings of life that He provides for us, that He bestows upon us. And one of those blessings of life, a heritage from God, according to Psalm, I think it's 126, where children are an heritage of the Lord, are our children and our grandchildren. Let's not take them for granted. Let's not take them for granted. Hannah prayed to the Lord her God for a child, and God answered her prayer. And we need to follow her example and pray for our children and our grandchildren. And let me just insert this, because I believe that tomorrow is the vote in the Minnesota legislature concerning putting into our Constitution the wording, abortion is a constitutional right. Am I wrong in that, or is that going to happen tomorrow? I believe it's going to happen tomorrow. How we need to be in prayer for that, that it will not pass. To take the life of unborn children is one of the greatest acts of selfishness, pride, and arrogance that exists in our society. And how thankful I am for ministries like Metro Women's Center, which had their annual Walk for Life yesterday, right? And how did they do? They did thumbs up, okay? We got a thumbs up. Praise the Lord for the support of God's people, not only financially but prayerfully as well. It is a needed ministry. And I'm thankful that our church has been a part of that ministry throughout the years. And again, this vote that's going to be taking place, I believe, tomorrow, it's paving the way for abortion to be a constitutional right right up to the birth of the child. How dare we destroy a life that God has created? How dare we do that? And I think our society stands in judgment of God for that atrocity through the years. God's answer to the apostasy of Israel was a baby boy, Samuel. When God could not find a man, He raised up a godly praying woman who was willing to be the handmaiden of the Lord, willing to bring His sent one into the world, willing to consecrate herself to the spiritual training of that child, and then giving him up to the Lord for His service. And her ministry was time-consuming, but it was greatly rewarding to Hannah. And those of you who are mothers, have been blessed with children, your ministry, no doubt, has been time-consuming. And I trust greatly rewarding to you as you have sought to bring up that child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And fathers, it goes for us as well, as we stand together with our spouse in bringing up children for the glory of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the ministry of your word. Thank you for the example of Hannah and Elkanah, their dedication to serving you in a very difficult world, and to express through their songs and through their prayers praise and gratitude and thankfulness and their trust in you, because you are in control. You are in charge of everything. And may that be said of every believer here this morning, that we recognize your sovereignty in every aspect of life. And we give you thanks and praise for how you will orchestrate all of our circumstances for our good and for your glory. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. See, we've come and lead us in our closing hymn this morning. If we can help you, it would be assistance to you in any way in a spiritual decision you need to make, please see me afterwards. I'd be happy to help you and show you from God's word how that need can be met in your life. Right, Steve?
Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. Let's stand together and sing. If you need the book, it's 502. Friendship that we do have in you as believers. Lord, that we can trust in you for strength, come to you in time of need. Lord, rest upon your promises. Thank you, Lord, for the celebration that we can have today for our mothers. Lord, for the influence that each person here and each mother here has had on their children's lives and their grandchildren's lives. Lord, thank you for their dedication. Pray that as we celebrate this afternoon that we might do it with rejoicing and knowing that you have given them the desire and the opportunity to show Christ's love through them. We pray this in thy precious name. Amen.